Test 4.
Section 1. Listening Comprehension. This section is designed to test your ability to understand spoken English. You will hear a selection of recorded materials, and you must answer the questions that accompany them. There are three parts in this section, Part A, Part B, and Part C. Remember, while you are doing the test, you should first put down your answers in your test booklet. At the end of the listening comprehension section, you will have 5 minutes to transfer all your answers from your test booklet to answer sheet 1. If you have any questions, you may raise your hand now, as you will not be allowed to speak once the test has started. Now look at Part A in your test booklet.
Part A. Listen and complete the sentences in questions 1 to 5 with the information you've heard. Write not more than 3 words in each numbered box. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the questions.
It has been said that farming in America today is 3/4 paperwork and 1/4 physical labor. Because of this, American farmers are now able to work for more years. In the past, most were old and tired by the time they were about 40. Today, however, the average age of the American farmer is 48, 5 years older than the average of the other American workers. Almost all new farmers in the United States have completed at least 12 years of school, and many young Americans study agriculture at a state university. The federal government provided for the establishment of these schools in a law signed by President Abraham Lincoln in 1862. Today, there is a so-called land-grant university in each state. The land-grant law also created the Cooperative Extension Service. This is a series of local offices around the country that inform farmers about the latest developments in agriculture. Extension agents test soil, give advice and answer questions. They help big farmers, small farmers, and people in cities who just want to grow some fruits and vegetables behind their homes. In addition to the Cooperative Extension Service, American farmers also get information from the many agricultural publications in the United States. Farmers also join organizations where they and their families can exchange information. Today's agriculture report was written by Chris Johnson.
Part B. Answer questions 6 to 10 while you listen. Use not more than 5 words for each answer. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the questions.
Now the Daily Special English Science Report. Doctors say as many as 20% of all children in the United States suffer from some form of the learning disorder called dyslexia. Experts on dyslexia say that the problem is not a disease. They say that persons with dyslexia use information in a different way. One of the world's great thinkers and scientists, Albert Einstein, was dyslexic. Einstein said that he never thought in words. He thought in pictures instead. Other famous persons who had dyslexia include Leonardo da Vinci, the American inventor Thomas Edison, and former American Vice President Nelson Rockefeller. Dyslexia was first recognized in Europe and the United States more than 80 years ago. Many years passed before doctors discovered that persons with the disorder were not mentally slow or disabled. Doctors found that the brains of persons with dyslexia are different. In most people, the left side of the brain, the part that controls language, is larger than the right side. In persons with dyslexia, the right side of the brain is bigger. Doctors are not sure what causes this difference. However, research has shown that dyslexia is more common in males than in females, and it is found more often in persons who are left-handed. No one knows the cause of dyslexia, but some scientists believe it may result from chemical changes in a baby's body. Dr. Samuel Orton, 50 years ago, was one of the first persons to develop ways to teach persons with dyslexia. In 1940, a year after his death, doctors, teachers, and other experts formed the Orton Dyslexia Society to continue his work. Dr. Sylvia Richardson is a member of the Orton Society. She says that after dyslexic persons solve their problems with language, they often show themselves to be especially intelligent or creative. She said they think differently and need special kinds of teaching help. But Dr. Richardson said, "It is important to help these people develop skills in every area possible."
Part C. You will hear 3 dialogues or monologues. Before listening to each one, you will have time to read the questions related to it. While listening, answer each question by choosing A, B, C, or D. After listening, you will have time to check your answer. You will hear each piece once only.
1.
Exercise. We hear so much about it these days. yet even the experts can't agree on which exercises are best. Now some doctors are strongly encouraging arm exercises.
Arm exercises? Is that because our arms are too fat or flabby?
Actually, that's not the main reason. They say that arm exercises are an ideal way to become physically fit.
But don't arm exercises raise your blood pressure?
That they do. But the article I read mentioned ways to compensate for that.
How?
By adding leg exercises, so the arms don't do all the work. Arm exercises alone aren't enough to increase metabolism before fatigue sets in. The more the body that's involved in the exercises, the better.
And in turn, I'm sure that there's a great chance of losing weight.
Sounds right to me.
So what exercises do the experts recommend?
They mentioned quite a few. But some of the more popular ones are cycling special bicycles that make you use both your arms and legs, and walking vigorously while you wear arm weights.
I must try that. I like to walk a lot.
The British Museum originated in the private collections of Sir Hans Sloane, which he left to the nation on his death in 1753. He was a rich physician who devoted his whole life to collecting curiosities from all parts of the world. These curiosities, together with George II's library, were reopened to the public as the British Museum in 1759. Many valuable legacies, especially private libraries and collections of art, have been left to the museum at different times. An entire reconstruction of the original building of the museum was begun in 1828 and was finished in 1852. Within the building is a large hall, from which opens out passages and stairways to the various departments. The treasures of the British Museum are so numerous that even so large a building could not hold everything, and the scientific and zoological collections have been housed in a separate building in Kensington, known as the Natural History Museum. The British Museum itself houses the archaeological departments and the library, consisting of more than 2 million printed volumes with thousands of manuscripts. 3.
Before a new airliner goes into service, every part of it is tested again and again. But there are two tests that are more important than all the others. One of them is very strange, and the other is very dangerous. The first of these is called the tank test. A modern airliner must fly at very high altitudes. Air must be pumped into the plane so that the passengers can breathe. The metal structure of the plane has to be very strong for this reason. When the plane is filled with air, the air presses against the skin of the plane. The pressure on a small window, for example, is like a huge giant foot that is trying to get out. If a small part of the plane were to crack, the plane would explode in the sky. This is what happened to the first comets. In order to test the structure of the plane, it is lowered into a huge tank of water. Then it is filled with air. The pressure inside the plane is greater than it ever will be when it is in the air. Finally, there is an explosion. This doesn't cause so much damage inside the water tank as it would anywhere else. Engineers can discover which part of the plane cracked. This part is made stronger. The most dangerous test happens when the new plane goes through test flights in the air. The test pilot must find out exactly what happens when the engines are shut off suddenly. He takes the plane up very high. Then he shuts the engines off. The plane begins to fall like a stone. It is the pilot's job to find out how he can get control of the plane again. These two tests are examples of how planes are made safe before they ever carry passengers.